most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please watch over our meeting. Please be with those who are ill. Please be with our military. Please watch over our residents. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Baker?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich? Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge did indicate that she would not be here this evening. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have 4 individuals signed up. The first one is Miss Mary Ortiz with Allen Blue Spruce. Citizens to be heard is for the City Council to receive information on issues that may be of concern to the public. Citizens to be heard is limited to 3 minutes. A purpose of the Open Meeting Act is to ensure that the public is always given notice of the items that will be discussed by the Council. Should a member of the public bring an item to the Council for which the subject was not posted on the agenda for the meeting, the Council may receive the information but cannot discuss or act upon it at the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you and good evening, Mayor and Council members. Audience. My name is Mary Ortiz and I live at 4802 Blue Spruce here in Kirby. I've been a resident for almost 28 years. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening, and I'd like to express my support for the increase in age from 18 to 21 to purchase tobacco and tobacco products. I understand that tobacco is the leading cause of preventable death, and that the younger a person is when they start smoking, the greater the probability that they will turn into lifelong smokers. The other day on my way home from work, I was stopped at a stop, and a school bus was on the opposing lane as a young man got off the school bus, complete with his little backpack. Couldn't have been more than 15 years of age. Walked past me, lit up a cigarette, and proceeded to walk on home smoking a cigarette. This is one of many children that I see in the neighborhood that are smoking at such a young age. And I would ask that you please delay the age to purchase tobacco and tobacco products and give teens just a little bit of time to mature. Maybe even take on some adult responsibility, and maybe they might see the purchase of tobacco from a different perspective. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next person is Jerry, and I apologize. Not sure what the last name is.
Hello, Mayor Pierce, members of the Kirby City Council. My name is Jerry Saavedra. I'm with the American Heart Association here on behalf of our volunteers and members who live in the city of Kirby. First, I just want to thank the council for considering the Tobacco 21 ordinance. This is an issue that we were heavily involved with when San Antonio was considering it. And as right now, there's over 425 cities across the entire country that have adopted an ordinance, and we've been involved in a lot of them. So I just wanted to come here today and just share a little bit of information and express our support for the council considering this. As was mentioned, tobacco use continues to be the leading cause of preventable death. But just to put it in a little bit of a different way, tobacco kills more people every year than Americans that died in World War II. To put it even another way, tobacco kills more people every year than AIDS, cocaine, heroin, alcohol, vehicle accidents, homicide, and suicide all combined. And so we're talking about something that contains nicotine, which is a very addictive chemical. My father-in-law is a smoker, been trying to quit for years. I have a nephew who's in high school, tells me about all the stories about the e-cigarette epidemic and all the kids that have flash drives and Juuls. I'm sure you've seen a lot of the news articles. In fact, the current administration, Surgeon General, has come out and called it an epidemic of teens beginning to become addicted because they start vaping and using e-cigarettes thinking it's just water vapor, it's healthy, but in fact, a lot of those contain nicotine. And as we know, according to the science, is that the adult brain continues to develop through 25, and the younger you are when you first get that nicotine, the more addictive power it has. And so the brain's developing through the age of 25, and so by raising the age to 21, you're kind of taking that step back into trying to prevent folks. Something else that I just wanted to mention was 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, think about those high school seniors who are legally able to purchase it. They make up about 2 to 4% of overall tobacco sales, but they make up about 90% of the supply for those 13, 14, and 15-year-olds. That's where they get their tobacco products. And so they're able to give the money to their high school senior who's a friend who can go to the convenience store, purchase it, and then come back and give it to the underage folks. And so this isn't really about those 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. It's more about those 13, 14, 15-year-olds who are getting it from those folks that are that age. And so by raising it to 21, now you're talking about folks who are more at the college level age, and high school kids are not, you know, or engaging with those that age of folks every day. And so that's where the impact of this type of law has into effect. Just a couple other things. I noticed that the tobacco, you know, I've heard a lot of the common things is if you're old enough to vote or join the military, that you should be old enough to purchase it. I just want to kind of highlight a couple of things. You know, alcohol, obviously, you have to be over 21. In order to gamble or go into a casino, you have to be over 21. To have a handgun, you have to be 21, rent a car, adopt a child, get a hotel room. And so there's many things for various reasons that society has decided to raise the age to 21 or even up to 25 to adopt a child or to get a hotel room or rent a car. That it's just something to consider when we're talking about, again, a substance that's very, very addictive. And just lastly, on the draft ordinance, we have looked at it, and we know that it mirrors what San Antonio did. There's just a couple of suggestions that we would have. One is the penalty, as it's currently written, says the person who sells alcohol, so the penalty's focusing on the clerk. We would ask that you would add, you know, the penalty on the person or retailer. That way it's not just the clerk who's responsible for it, but it's also the owner of the business overall to have some responsibility on making sure that their clerks are trained and that they the retailer is responsible. The reason for that is we've seen a lot of policies that when the penalty is on the retailer, they're a lot more effective and they get enforced a lot stronger than when the penalty is just on that clerk who might happen to not be they're just a job where they happen to not know that that's a law, and then they're the ones that get the penalty. And then lastly, the definition that you have for tobacco product in the current draft ordinance is very good. The only small little tweak was we would suggest adding a separate definition for e-cigarettes, because there are e-cigarette liquids that do not contain nicotine in them, and so it would just be a way to capture all e-cigarette cartridges and making sure that there's no loophole for that thing. And we have some suggested language for that as well. But overall, just thank you for your leadership on this, and we are here to be a resource if you all need anything. Thank you so much.
Mr. Boyd Baxter. Same subject.
Good evening, members of Kirby City Council. My name is Boyd Baxter. I am a prevention specialist. I'm licensed in the state of Texas to practice substance abuse prevention, and I work for the San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Awareness. Our target area covers all of Bexar County, which includes Kirby Middle School, or Kirby. I am a former student of Kirby Middle School and a former student of Judson High School, so I know this area very well. One of the things that we know about youth smoking today is that it is on the rise. Several years ago, when a lot of cities enacted ordinances that said there was no public smoking, the youth rates went down. What we're seeing now with a lot of the data that we're looking at is that the youth rates are increasing tremendously, and especially in the e-cigarette markets and the vaping markets. One of the things we know about the teenage brain is that it's not fully developed. A person's brain doesn't really develop until about 25 years old, where the frontal lobe is fully developed and they make better judgment choices. One of the things that Mrs. Saavedra had mentioned about the separation of the peer influence is that an 18-year-old can purchase tobacco products 18-year-olds daily associate with 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds and can easily transfer that tobacco product. When a person is 21 years old, they almost never associate with 16 and 15-year-olds unless there is a very direct relationship there. So that definitely takes care of a peer influence. One of the things we know about the vape shops that are popping, there are vape shops popping up all over the community. It's not just in your city, it's in other cities as well. The vape shops are really in an uncontrolled atmosphere at this point. The vape liquids, the nicotine that is in the liquids, at some point we really never know how much is in it. Some of the bottles may be marked. But in our discovery, we understand that it's really easy for someone to take a vape bottle and go into the back and take an eyedropper and put several drops of nicotine in that bottle. It is an uncontrolled science. There is no measurement whatsoever on that. The truth is that many people will say vapes and e-cigarettes are a cessation method. Well, that may be true for some folks, but when you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, that's not a cessation method. That is a method for increasing nicotine input and generating a lifelong habit of smoking. It's coincidentally, two-thirds of Texas voters favor raising the age of purchase of tobacco products to the age of 21. I want to thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Thank you. Mr. Steve Linscombe with Judson ISD on our construction update for the middle school.
Good evening, council members and Mayor Pierce. I'm Steve Linscombe, the Director of Communications for Judson ISD. I just wanted to update you real quickly on some of the projects that are going on across this general vicinity. A couple of our campuses, Hopkins Elementary School and Wagner High School, both are just about 99% complete in terms of its roofing phase one. The contractor is completing the items on the punch list, and the facilities and planning department for us is awaiting closeout documents for both of those particular campuses. Of course, the big project is Kirby Middle School. Renovations, construction completion is about 32% at this point, so it is moving along. Most activity is going on around the gymnasium area. Structural concrete columns and the beams have been constructed out there. The cinder block walls and the foundation concrete retainer blocks have been installed, and right now they're really focusing on the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems right now, kind of on the rough order underneath the floor and within the masonry walls. That continues to be completed as well. So those are really the biggest projects that we have going on within the general Kirby City area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Item 6A, consideration of action on the minutes for regular meeting February 14th. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion. We accept the meetings February the 14th.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept the meeting minutes of February 14th. All in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Item 7A, presentation, discussion, and possible action on the 2020 U.S. Census. Mr. Richard Cassignon.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about the 2020 census. We know it's every 10 years, but it's going to happen next year again. And I wanted to tell you that we are working basically in every state, every county, every city to help cities prepare for this count next year. We were very fortunate to meet here with Ms. Vernon and Patty and Tanya, and we came to them a couple of weeks ago to talk about what we're trying to do in all these cities nationwide, basically. And that is the implementation of this program that we call the Community Partnership and Engagement Program, CPEP. And the basic tenet of this program is this complete count committee that we are setting up nationwide. The complete count committee is made up of members of the city, of the community, usually appointed by the mayor, or the mayor may decide any other which way to appoint, you know, members from this council district or whatever. It's all up to you all. But the idea is to have an inclusive group of people, 10 to 15 members from Kirby, to be appointed to this committee. And the sole idea is, or the sole purpose of this committee is to develop a public awareness campaign. And it is very critical that we do those this time around, because if you don't know this, the census is going to be done in a different way than ever in the past. There's going to be four ways, basically, three new ones and one that is always done. But the three new ways that we're going to be able to respond to the census are going to be online, over the phone, or you can request the questionnaire in writing or in paper. You know, before you would get the questionnaire in the mail, this time you're going to get a letter explaining to you the different ways that how to do each one of those three options for you to answer. So that piece alone, it's a very important thing that we have to educate the community about how to respond to. And so it's the principal challenge that we have nationwide, telling the community, basically the whole country, about the new way that we're doing it. And then within that challenge, there's also other inherent challenges, such as the internet. You know, the elderly community is not going to be so inclined to do it, so we have to devise ways to get to them and make sure that they understand that there's other ways to do it. And maybe the city can help them by setting up a computer here or working with the local schools where they can, you know, just like when we do elections, you know, they set up in schools, we could set up a computer there with somebody that can help them how to do it if they want to go there and do it. We need to make sure that they understand how to request the form in paper so that they can get it. And there's other challenges, you know. They were mentioning earlier about the problem with teenage smoking, right? Kids 5 and under are usually very undercounted. And then we have homeless and veterans that may be in your city that are also going to are in danger of being not counted at all. We have, you know, several categories or segments of the population that we call hard to count. And so this complete count committee, with the members in it, prepares a work plan to enact or implement a public awareness campaign. We're looking for the committee to be set up as early as possible, as soon as possible here in Kirby, and have the members appointed so we can come down, and I will train them personally. Kirby is in my region, and so I would come and train this new committee on how to implement the work, which will be done in 2020. And, you know, we are specifically focusing on all the other cities besides San Antonio within the county. And we are working very closely with the office of the county judge, Nelson Wolf, through his suburban cities council. And that's where I met Ms. Bernan and started talking about this. And so that's really what we are asking as a census, you know, to for you to consider and create this complete count committee. It can be, you know, done through a resolution, or if you like, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do it. And you know, Kirby is one of our priorities in the county. And if Dwayne, if you want to mention a few words, Dwayne is with the county and he works with the judge.
Thank you, Richard. Good evening, Mayor Pierce and council members and city manager. For the record, my name is Dwayne Robinson, and I am the Suburban Cities Coordinator for Bexar County. In that capacity, my focus is the 26 cities that make up Bexar County outside of San Antonio. So I think Richard spoke to what our focus is with the census this year or next year. And what my focus is, just kind of backtracking on what the focus is of the Suburban Cities Council, is to really enable the county judge to have a closer working relationship with the 26 suburban cities. So the city of San Antonio and the county have created a joint commission, with the city of San Antonio having each city council member appoint two persons, and then the county having the commissioners appoint two persons. I requested to be accounted for or to be appointed on behalf of the county to just make sure that we represent the 26. So it is my commitment and it is judge's commitment to work very closely with the 26 cities to ensure that the count is handled in the most appropriate way. So we certainly look forward to working with you and Monique and the staff, and anything that I can do or anything that you need of Judge Wolf, please don't hesitate to ask. All right?
Any questions about the complete count committee or anything related to the census next week, next year?
Does staff have any?
The resolution.
Oh, from the coming public. About the resolution?
On our agenda this evening, and if the council does move to approve that resolution, what would the next steps be?
Oh, the next step would be to appoint the members. And as soon as you have all the members appointed in the committee, then, I will need to, we will need to schedule the training to get this process going and start it as soon as possible. So that's.
What is your recommendation for how many members do you think?
The most common membership is, very inclusive and varied. I mean, we always talk about getting people from the government, from the city government. From the business community, if you have a chamber of commerce, somebody from there, somebody from the school district or the individual schools, maybe somebody from a high school and somebody from a middle school and an elementary, churches, community organizations, community-based organizations, anybody that that you feel would have a representation of all the segments of the population in your community. Yeah, we have several sample resolutions. Leon Valley was the one that really started this whole process with the 26. They passed a resolution, and they're appointing members right now. Today I heard that even though it's not in this county, but San Marcos also passed a resolution recently. And so that's what all the cities are doing. So far, Duane and I have met with about almost 10 of the 26 cities, and they're all most of them are doing CCCs and resolutions. And so, if you need a copies of sample resolutions that they passed, I've got them to share with you all.
At this point, I think that would be, we'll get the information to staff, and they can bring it back on an agenda with the resolution on there.
Do we need to act on that?
Mm-hmm. Not until that resolution comes back, then we would.
Okay.
You would supply that, sure.
Any other questions? No. All right, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Item 7B, discussion and possible action on a request for city services for the 2019 Braylon Nelson Walk. Candace, the floor is yours.
Hi, my name is Candace Matthews. This is my son, Braylon Nelson. He's 9. About 7 years ago, he was a he's a survivor of a road rage accident between two men, put him in a wheelchair. He was paralyzed from the neck down right here in Kirby. And every year we host a fundraiser in October, which is the month that his accident happened. We host it at the Friendship Park Pavilion, and I'm just asking if we can have your permission to host it there this year, October the 5th, for fundraising for his medical care and physical therapy.
I make a motion we allow them that day, October the 5th.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to authorize request for city services for the 2019 Braylon Nelson Walk. Is there any further discussion?
Nothing else. Yeah.
You want to say anything, Braylon?
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, awesome. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember
Layton?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Albadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am. That's twice.
Oh, excuse me. Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
I mean, I'll vote twice.
Yes. All right. So there will be more information coming on that one. Item 7C, discussion and possible action on a request for city services for the 2019 suicide awareness event. Veronica Herrera.
Hello. I'm just again requesting park access. This year we wanted teaming up with, I'm sure you all know Robert Stevens. He does the softball and Little League. So we thought that maybe we could do like a softball and a walk and combine them together for the suicide awareness. So wanted to see if we were able to use the softball field and the pavilion on September 7th, if possible.
Is there anything with...
You would have to check the email schedule.
Yeah.
The pavilion is available.
So... we'll get that, if we can get those dates, just to find out when.
Okay.
And are the walk, are you still going to do it like we did last year?
Yeah.
With so it going from...
Well, I want to find a more convenient way to have it start at, to start and end at the park instead of going all through Kirby. So I'm going to try to find an alternate way to start and stop at the park.
Chief, is that something that in that area... As far as going to and from, I mean, if...
sometime before, if you want to bring me a shout, we can look at various other route options, and I can help you locate the possible start points and make contact with those property owners, see if they're agreeable to it.
I only say that because it might be easier to work together to find a avenue rather than you have one and then it not really be feasible for our police department to follow and to be able to
okay.
secure that area while the walking is going on.
Okay. So we're going to table this until we get to...
We can probably, I mean, if somebody wants to make a motion, we can do it pending those dates. Is September 7th, since that's the day, is that the actual day specifically that...
either Saturday or Sunday, whichever one is available. I believe the 7th is the Saturday,
yes.
And the 8th is a Sunday.
Correct.
But we may can just, Patty, is there any reason if somebody wanted to make a motion that it would just be on contingent upon the schedule of Little League? Okay.
Got to figure this one out. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we extend this courtesy contingent on when the baseball diamond would be available, 7th or 8th. Does that sound correct?
Yes. The suicide awareness thing.
Yeah, for the suicide awareness event.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Wilson. Is there any other discussion or questions? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Right, and if we can, we should be able to get that information fairly quickly, barring any weather makeup days. Okay, all right, thank you. Awesome. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
She makes t-shirts too.
Uh-huh.
Glasses, cups, everything. Thanks, Veronica. All right, I'm going to deviate from the agenda and move to item 7G, discussion and possible action on the Benzingelman Road Reconstruction Project. As you know, this has been a topic that has been ongoing since the project. It's never left our agenda. And our last council meeting, we had options in front of us, so Gilbert will relay what's happened since our last meeting.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We went ahead and we had a meeting with SAC, Ford Engineering, and myself and Moby. We went over, the meeting was on February 21st. We gave them a schedule. We gave them 10 days to respond to a letter that the Ford Engineering had drafted for the needs that, for what we need to see how they're going to catch up on. A project update. They should be on phase 6. They're currently on phase 3, so we're requiring an updated recovery schedule. Also, we have not received a proposal for temporary mailboxes. And they need to submit a couple of, they need to submit some of the certified payrolls. To stay up to date with the DVD permits that they're using. So we sent these requirements to them, and they're required to respond to us by the 4th, I believe, March 4th.
So everybody had received the letter that was sent to SAC, San Antonio Constructors, and it did say that they were supposed to be corrected within 10 days. Not necessarily that they had to respond. So are you saying responses?
Well, responses to the correction that they have made. They have to respond.
In 10 days, though, not just to give us this information, but that they needed to.
So some of the things we knew they couldn't catch up with in
right.
The 10-day time period. So the requirement was that TxDOT said we could require that they give us a plan.
Okay.
10 days.
I just wanted to make sure because it said these items listed must be corrected within 10 days, which clearly we know if they're only on phase 3 and they should be on 7, that's clearly not going to happen.
So, and we haven't had the final, the check. They don't do the check on the 1 and 2 until 3 is complete.
Yeah, we haven't, as soon as they're done with phase 3 and all portions of phase 3, then we're going to go back into a punch list. And before we can move on to phase 4, they have to make all the corrections on the punch list. Then we'll be able to move forward from there. So they still got a little bit of a ways to go.
And so since this letter, there has been no response, though.
They have until Monday. And one of the questions they did ask was, could they move on to 4? And I said, no, you have to go back to the punch list. And 1 to 3, as you required, before you can move on to 4. Another thing that they said they may present in their recovery plan is doing multiple phases at the same time, which would be something the city would have to agree to, because that would be two construction zones at once.
Is that the one where they're going to start at the other end and come this?
Start by the park and you're working at the same time.
And we had discussion about that at our last meeting.
There is the fact that we went through the 45% audit with TxDOT. Gilbert has to go out and inspect every day. There's only one Gilbert. You can't inspect two major projects every day and have, you know, all of this other workload. Also concerns about the ingress and egress from the park. We have events coming up. And then I just personally have a concern about the fact that they haven't caught up with the work they're supposed to be doing. We made a lot of tear up another portion.
A and then it not finish. And then you have, yes.
Yeah, because that's one horse pushing and one horse pulling. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
So, I mean, some of the options that they could potentially have is bring out additional crews and, you know, try to get three and four in that direction.
But if they're working in two areas, would that not require additional crews? If they're putting that option forward?
If they're willing
to do that, then why aren't they willing to bring in those additional people and finish
now
up what they're
to finish
to
it?
Up now.
And personally, I would have thought after that meeting last Thursday, you were given 10 days, I would have had additional crews out there all this week.
I've seen less people.
Right.
There's been an average of 2 people.
Exactly.
You can only build so many farms with 2 guys.
And so at this point, though, since they're not submitting invoices, they're also, there's nothing to be remitted either, correct?
Well, they submitted an invoice last week.
Right.
Because they're not submitting, or TxDOT has additional documents that need to be attached to the invoice before they can be paid.
Well, these people's driveways and sidewalks, man, can we get those things to make that a priority so...
But the surety...
Bad happens, we don't go through mud.
But surety's been notified.
Surety has been notified. We're satisfied with their service and they're extremely high schedule. Okay. God.
You need to be twins, Gilbert.
Does anybody else have questions? Or questions, concerns to be addressed by Gilbert? I mean, I know we have concerns, but that Gilbert can actually address...
I'm tired of beating Gilbert. He's got too much going.
Thanks, Gilbert. All right, we will go back to, we will resume the order of the agenda. We'll move back to item 7D, discussion and possible action. Ordinance number O-2019-854, an ordinance of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending sections 98.01 and 98.02 of Chapter 98 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby, Texas, to revise the purposes and definitions and adding sections 98.08 and 98.09 to Chapter 98 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby, Texas, to prohibit the sale of cigarettes, e-cigarettes, and other tobacco products to any person under the age of 21 and establishing a penalty for violations of a fine not to exceed the sum of $500 for each offense. This would be the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion. We accept. I lost the number, and I'm so sorry. 02019-852. No, that's a special election. I am so sorry. Pardon me. 029-854 for the ordinance of adding to the ordinance for raising the age of 21 for purchasing tobacco products.
Second. Okay. Have a motion. Which one? You?
Go ahead.
So. Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept ordinance number O-2019-854. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
No.
Mayor Pierce?
No. Ordinance number O-2019-854 passes for the second reading. Item 7E, discussion and possible action to consider ordinance number O-2019-852, ordering a special election on the reauthorization of the local sales and use tax in the City of Kirby, Texas, at the rate of 1/4 of 1% to continue providing revenue for maintenance and repair of municipal streets. The tax expires on the 4th anniversary of the date of this election, unless the imposition of the tax is reauthorized, making provision for the conduct of the election, including city intention, to enter into a joint election agreement and or contract for election services with the Bexar County Elections Administrator, resolving other matters incident and related to such election, and providing an effective date. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we accept ordinance number 0-2019-852, ordering a special election on the reauthorization of the local sales and use tax in the City of Kirby at the rate of 1/4 of 1% to continue providing revenue for the maintenance and repair of municipal streets.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson.
Second.
seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept ordinance number O-2019-852. Is there any further discussion?
Can we find out how much money was collected this past year?
You want that before, or? Do you want her to grab it now, or?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Can we come back to this item, Patty?
Yeah, the motion's been made. It's got to be followed through. That should be a request that can be made at the end of the council meeting or something.
Can I recess it until she comes back? So we're not sitting here? Or just, all right, so we're going to wait for information.
Go and take a recess.
She said no. That's what I just said.
Well, okay, Patty.
She said no.
You're cracking the whip tonight, dear.
No rules are rules. The law is the law.
It's warm. My hands are cold. Actually, it's under blacks.
My hands are cold, but my face is warm. It's $68,500. All right, so we have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
No.
Mayor Pierce?
How'd you do that?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2019-852 passes for the second reading. Item 7F, discussion and possible action on an ordinance of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending Chapter 70 of the Code of Ordinances by adding Section 70.06 to prohibit the operation of motor-assisted scooters on a street, highway, or sidewalk in the City of Kirby, authorizing the impoundment of motor-assisted scooters found in the City of Kirby and setting a penalty for violations. This is the first reading. City Council had directed our staff to bring an ordinance on this issue. And so in front of you is that ordinance. Would our city manager like to comment?
So the city attorney drafted the ordinance but left the impact fees up to the city. So the recommendation of our police chief is to charge an impound fee of $35 plus a $5 per day storage fee.
All right, so on this ordinance 2019-855, the fees per suggested fee would be an impound fee of $35 plus a storage fee of $5 per day. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, make a motion we accept. Ooh, where are we at? It's split in half here.
It's actually not on.
There
you have to read on that paper.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying to find the code on this one. Oh, section 551-351 and 551-352.
It's up at the top.
And except 551-352. There it is. I'm so sorry, folks. I'm old. Ordinance number 02019-855. I make a motion to accept.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept ordinance number O-2019-855.
It's not.
Amending Chapter 70 of the Code of Ordinances by adding Section 70.06 to prohibit the operation of motor-assisted scooters on a street, highway, or sidewalk in the City of Kirby, authorizing the impoundment of motor-assisted scooters found in the City of Kirby and setting a penalty for violations. This is the first reading. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce? Yes. All right, we've already covered 7G, so I'll be moving to 7H. Discussion and possible action on a contract for the collection of closed water utility accounts. On February 14th, we had two presentations regarding the collection of closed water utility accounts. Our city manager informed us that there was approximately $30,000 that was written off each year. And so she had gone and looked for sources to collect those funds, at least try to recoup some of that money without tasking our own staff with that service. So we were given two presentations, one by McCreary, Veselka, Bragg, and Allen, and one by Lundberger, Goggin, Blair, and Sampson. So tonight we are being asked to decide on a contract for that, for the collection of closed water utility accounts. So I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, make a motion we invite MVBA for the collection of closed water utility accounts.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to enter a contract for the collection of closed water utility accounts with MVBA, McCreary, Veselka, Bragg, and Allen for services March 1, 2019 through February 28, 2022, at a cost of 20% of total amount collected per account. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. And I did want to recognize a representative with Lundberger here, so thank you very much for attending tonight, and thank you for your presentation last meeting. All right, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Senior Center Corporation Board. Norma?
Not quite yet. There was one lady that I'm going to continue pray for that one and see if they bring it back.
Okay.
But I will give you the information and
thinking. Awesome. All right, item 7J, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. Do we have any? There wasn't any here. Okay, we will move to item 7K, discussion and possible action on appointing regular members and alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission. Okay. Item 7L, discussion and possible action on revisions to the City of Kirby Personnel Policies Manual regarding service to the public, employee responsibilities, work period, and compensatory time. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Mayor and Council, there were some recommended changes to our personnel policy. The first one was just a service to the public section. Since we approved updated vision and mission statements, we updated that page in the policy. That's Roman numeral 8. The next change is under employee responsibilities. We would like to add a section 2.19. I'm happy to read that.
Do you want me to read it? All right. Not that I sound much better, but
I was going to say,
2.19, duty to notify of arrest, charges, or convictions. The city expects its employees to meet the highest standards of conduct and professionalism, both on and off duty. Accordingly, city employees shall have a continuing duty to report any arrest, criminal charge, and or criminal conviction to their immediate supervisor as soon as practical. The employee supervisor shall report the employee's arrest, criminal charge, and or criminal conviction to the city manager. The city manager shall document the employee's personnel file on the date such report is received. An employee's failure to notify his or her supervisor of any arrest, criminal charge, and or criminal conviction may result in disciplinary action, including termination. Depending on the circumstances, an employee who is arrested and or charged with a crime may be disciplined, demoted, transferred, or suspended in either a paid or unpaid status, pending a final resolution of the charges. All right, so that's section 2.19.
Okay. The next part is in section 6.05 under work period, and I'll just tell you the pieces that were changed. Under the second sentence under police officer work periods and schedules, it was just a line added because it currently says the city has established the following work period for its police officers. We added unless expressly modified by the city manager in writing, and because all the same for fire, police and fire have specific hours that they work. And so right now, there are some police positions, for example, a sergeant or a lieutenant position who actually work a 40-hour work week as opposed to working the rotation schedule on a 28-day work period. And so the way the policy is written, it didn't address those specific types of work schedule changes.
Okay.
Also, in that same area, if you go to the third bullet, the policy currently says that sick leave, training, and unwork holidays are not counted as hours worked for overtime pay period. But actually, based on the way the Fair Standard Labor Laws are written, vacation should be the one that's not included, but training hours should be included. So if an employee works, you know, 40 hours, say they work a 32-hour work period, and 8 of those days they went to training, that time could be worked toward. So just correcting the way it's written in the policy. Same change on the next page with the vacation under the fire work schedules, as well as the note section. It's the third bullet under the second part of that page. And then on 6.09 under the comp time, again, was the clarification of hours, so adding in those hours, because our policy clearly tells you the number of hours police officers work on a 28-day work period and the number of firefighters work on a 28-day pay period. And so we're just clarifying that information so that we have the ability to create different work schedules for some fire or police. So another example would be like the assistant partner. He doesn't work on a shift work period. He works a 40-hour work.
And I know that this was a piece that was already in there, but when it says that, since that talks about to be used within a reasonable period, what is deemed a reasonable period? And I only say that because we're so short-staffed and we have such a small emergency department anyway, that reasonable may not, for a larger group, may not be reasonable in a city the size of Kirby, just for the fact that people call in sick and then when you have somebody off or vacation time. So I wasn't sure if we had an idea of.
By 120 days, we'd like you to use it within 120 days. However, we treat it just like vacation. If we're not able to grant you the time off within that time period, we won't let you lose it. We'd either allow you to postpone that time or pay you for it.
And I would like for us, I mean, again, I know that we are short, you know, that we have a very small workforce. However, I think that's part of the piece of quality of life too, that, you know, it's not comforting when you do know you have those hours that you've worked and that you've banked and you're not allowed to use them just for a reasonable, you know, just because there's circumstance. So I'd like us to be able to at least try as much as we can to accommodate that when it's reached. Does anybody else have any questions regarding the changes? I did, on the 2.19 though, you and I had a brief discussion just for the fact that potentially something could change where a manager could change hands or, a city manager could change. And even though the paperwork is supposed to be documented in the files, I think we definitely need to have a piece somewhere there that says, even if you are an employee and this has happened to you, or you are an employee that meets this criteria, if your manager changes, I still think that you should at least have a duty to report that to your new supervisor as well. So,
and I did discuss that with the secretary of work on the changes, and he wasn't comfortable with that language. I would say an employee would be required to report it multiple times. I guess was the way he explained it. Was that they went in and they reported it. That supervisor has the obligation now to take it to the city manager, who should be the one documenting it. So then when everyone's gone, someone else goes in that file and they see it. So he felt that responsibility should fall on the managers versus that employee.
Which is fine, because apparently, you know, that's kind of where we are today, was the fact that there was a manager and our policy wasn't here. And so I definitely think that's something, though, that we need to stay on top of as far as that piece of it, to make sure that maybe the files are just continue to look to make sure that it's all updated. All right, is there any further discussion on this piece? All right, I will entertain a motion to accept the revisions.
Mayor, I move that we accept the revisions to the City of Kirby's Personnel Policies Manual regarding services to the public, employees, responsibilities, work period, and compensatory time.
And this would be effective immediately, correct? All right.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept the revisions to the City of Kirby Personnel Policies Manual regarding service to the public, employee, responsibilities, work period, and compensatory time, effective immediately. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Now, will each of our employees, will they receive a copy of that for them to sign to acknowledge? Okay. All right. Item 8A, request by Mayor and Council members for items to be placed on future City Council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Councilmember Grant.
I have nothing. I just appreciate everyone coming tonight and appreciate you coming and, you know, maybe next time. Thank you.
Councilmember Wilson?
Nothing at this time.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yeah, we need to bring it up and rediscuss it, or it's a closed door, period. We don't seem to be getting anybody to sign up for some of these committee appointments. Do these members all have to be a member or live here in Kirby?
Some of them do, but not all of them. Only the ones that are the senior center board, you have to be a resident of Kirby, the planning and zoning, and the buildings and standards, since those are by charter.
Okay. Well, I know we're cutting off some people that would like to be on some of these boards that know they don't live in Kirby, but they live backed up to our boundary, and they would like to, you know. I know over at the senior center, there's two members over there that we told them they had to get off. And it was two of their best workers that they had. And now, you know, they're fighting to try to get a board put together.
Yep.
So I don't know if we're cutting off our nose to spite our face or what.
Well, that's actually a legal piece that they have to live in the City of Kirby, so.
Okay. That's it.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Nothing.
Councilmember Pierce?
I have nothing at this time.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. And are there any March? Yes, we have a meeting on March 7th, the special meeting. And March 2nd is Gnell opening day at 9 a.m. at the ball field. Wait, what?
Hazardous waste.
Oh, yes. Sorry. That's not on March 9th. Oh, okay. You scared me. I was like, I didn't think it was March 2nd. Okay, and then the hazardous waste is March 9th. And there, the information is posted on the website, on social media out here. And anything else? Great. Thank you for coming.